North of the Lake of Galilee, in the foothills near the Lebanese border, is the headwaters of the Jordan River. This lush area with rivers and waterfalls is a national park. It's a popular weekend destination for families and hikers. The Romans called the area Caesarea Philippi. The Roman army used the area for R&R, and it was a center of worship of the god Pan. Shrines to Roman gods, especially Pan, dot the hillsides. It's likely that Caesarea Philippi was about as far away from normal for the disciples as was possible. Miles away from their homes and their comfortable surroundings, and in the middle of a Roman army center and a hub for the worship of Roman gods, being here might well have blown the disciples' minds, which may be exactly what Jesus intended. Isn't it interesting how Jesus brings the disciples to this secular and foreign area before pausing and posing a question that forces them to stop and examine their very being? He turns to them and says, "Who do you say that I am?" The first time Jesus asks a question, it's the easy version. Who do people say that I am? What are people saying about me? Here, the disciples are like eager students in the classroom. Some say John the Baptist, says Philip. Others say Elijah, interjects James. Don't forget all the prophets. Everyone is choosing a different prophet, shouts Bartholomew from the back. Jesus turns to face them, slowly looking each one in the eye, one by one. But who do you say that I am? There's a pause. Every single one of them swallows, shuffles their feet, looks away. In the awkward silence, Peter steps out and speaks up. Presumably for all of them, but out of his own hopes and dreams for who Jesus is. You are the Messiah. The Messiah. The one who will liberate our people from the Romans, just like the ancient prophets of our people proclaimed liberation from oppressors for ancient Israel. But hold on. We know that Messiah is the right answer, but we've read to the end of the story. Up until now, in the Gospel of Mark, there has been no talk of Messiah. In the Jewish tradition, Messiah is an anointed king in the line of David and expected to come and free Israel, purify the people, and restore Israel to independence and glory. We haven't really read anything about that up till now in the Gospel of Mark. There's been no traditional anointing or crowning. There's definitely not been any talk of throwing off Roman imperial rule. It's just been Jesus walking the roads of Galilee, critiquing religious folks who are more concerned with following rules than caring for people, and healing people who are brought before him. Maybe Peter was making an intuitive leap from where they were standing in the middle of a major center of the Roman army to Jesus' question, speaking out of his own hopes and desires for Jesus, that Jesus would lead them to this political freedom and eventual independent glory. Maybe that's why Jesus didn't want them to tell anyone about him, so that no one else would get caught up in the wrong idea. Because as soon as Jesus begins to describe the life that this Messiah would lead, great suffering, rejection, death, their minds are obviously blown. Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Translation, stop it. This isn't about who you think I should be or what you want me to be doing. Because how we answer that question, who do you say that I am, says as much, if not more, about who we are as it does about who Jesus is. Because the corresponding question is, who will you say that you are? Who will you say that you are? It's easy to answer when it's a question about someone else. And we can guess at an answer. It doesn't cost much, and it doesn't require anything from us. But when the question is shown to reveal something about us, there's something that requires something more. It's a hard question. It's a direct question. No more can we hide behind confessions or statements of faith written by others. No more can we absent-mindedly recite the creed, even if we're crossing our fingers at the parts we aren't sure about. No more can we simply parrot back what we learned in Sunday school or what our parents taught us. Answering that question requires vulnerability. Stepping out, despite the fact that it might feel really uncomfortable to give an answer. Who do you say that I am? Who will you say that you are? We can't answer Jesus' question without revealing who we are. And who we are reveals who we've decided Jesus to be. It isn't a test. And it isn't that there's a right and a wrong answer. But it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to examine our discipleship, our identity, and to seek to align who we are and what we do with the Jesus made known to us through the Gospels. The Jesus who touched those who were considered physically untouchable, loving them, caring for them. The Jesus who sat down to eat with those who were not living a socially approved life. The Jesus who broke some of the religious rules that did more to oppress people than to liberate them. The Jesus who, in the words of our Eucharistic prayer, healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. It's an invitation to follow Jesus in proclaiming the liberating, life-giving good news of God in Jesus. Because taking up our cross to follow Jesus isn't about seeking out suffering or seeking out martyrdom. Taking up our cross means being willing to follow Jesus faithfully into whatever happens. It means putting Jesus' priorities and purposes ahead of our own comfort and security. It means being willing to lose our lives by spending them for others, using our time, resources, gifts, and energy so that others might experience God's love made known in Jesus. Because unlike Peter and the other disciples, at this point in our reading of the Gospel of Mark, we have heard and we have seen more of the story. The story that Mark announces to be the good news, the good news that Jesus was faithful even unto death, the good news that God raised him to new life, the good news that we know that God's life-giving power is stronger than the worst that human hands can do. And that as we follow Jesus by taking up our cross to follow him, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus. Amen.